Extra Points is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. You must be 21 or older.
Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his good, good pals, Dave Damaschek and Martin Weiss.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network and part of Omaha Audio. We did it, fellas. I was saying earlier, we've been negotiating this deal since Eli was drafted by the Chargers, and we find, sorry, Spaghetti, I don't know if you knew that. That's how it happened. He was drafted by the Chargers. And then the Giants, like, let us steal them from the league. But anyway, we're partners with Omaha. We are here. Spaghetti and Meatballs are fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon is producing this mess on a Tuesday morning. And joining me, as always, my dear, dear pals, Dave Damaschek, Martin Weiss. Sheck, we're coming off. Well, let me announce our contest winners first, because this is spectacular. This is pretty good. Now, the prop quiz winner, Joseph Piccioni. Six right, 6 out of 10. Good job by you. You get a gold cap. The pick'em winner, $100 prize. The winner at 12-3, Cousin Sal. I won the stupid thing. I had the tiebreaker over you, Shaq. You were also 12-3. Harry was third. And it's like, this is ridiculous. 272 people joined. How do we get the win, place, or show out of the Extra Points Podcast Network? And in case you think the fix is in, we put out a graphic, Mikey Meatballs does and Eddie Spaghetti, with our picks every Sunday morning. So it's a legit 12-3. If you did better, I want to hear from you. But that's pretty good, Sheck. 272
It is
people.
Great. Pat ourselves on the back, of course. But did you, it feels like 6 weeks ago now, Thursday Night Football in Arrowhead, you had.
You win that one. Right. Yes.
You had the Chargers, right?
Or no, I had the Chiefs laying the points. That's not part of this this contest.
I get not this contest with the audience, but the head-to-head staff-wise, I feel like Damaschek gets the tiebreaker. But right. I just want to say.
Oh, wait, hang on a second. If you guys want to talk about head-to-head staff tiebreakers, I think we should go back a week ago when I went 12-3 and mopped the floor with both of you guys, and that's why currently I am leading the extra points of the in the entire competition since Meatballs and Spaghetti colluded not to put the records on for the week two graphic up because it would have made you two look like, you know, whatever.
I don't know about
Cause
that.
Dave went 12-3 and is currently sitting at a 500 record. I'll have that. I mean, only one of us is 20-10 on the year.
Hold on. You are right. You're 20-10. You're in first place. Nice job. Sheck and I and Harry are 18-12 in terms of the staff. So you have a two-game lead. You got to hold on, though, Martin. Got to hold on for one more day, like Wilson Phillips told us. But back to this stupid thing that I won out of 272 people. I am letting the $100 roll over to next week. I don't know that either of you would have the fortitude to do that, but it's now a $200 prize next week. I'm rolling it over, but good job.
No, you know what? You know what? I like the spirit of where what you're laying down there. I'm going to throw $3 into that.
Oh, wow. All right.
Do that. Now it's 103, so it's a $203
That's
reward.
That's the $3 you owe Martin, though. So that's I don't know. I think you have to figure it out with him. I'm not sure if that's the right
That's cool,
to do
right,
this.
Marty?
I'm just going to rob you one day, Dave. When you're not paying attention, I'm going to rob you.
With all your predictive powers, you're surely sitting on a mountain of cash.
Oh, you see, Dave, that's how we were able to have. See, Dave, here's the thing. See, you went 12-3, and we've now spent the last 7 minutes talking about how you went 12-3. When I went 12-3, we were able to recap all the week one games because you know what? That's what the money is for. Okay, I hit 12-3. I had enough money. I wasn't worried about needing the credit from you two or anybody else. You know why? Because I got credit from where it mattered, the sports book.
You know what I get? I get two times credit because the pup of the week, when we pick a heavy underdog to win outright, Sal took what I was thinking.
I did that last week outright, week one, nailed it. Sorry, I'm just go ahead. If you want to
think, there's a lot of bragging.
Marty, please.
Well, I'm just saying.
Everybody knows.
But everybody did.
Marty,
I don't know.
Week one of the NFL is amateur hour. Everybody can sit there and flip coins and guess right. Who knows anything before we see these teams? Now we're starting to lock in a little bit. Now, pup of the week.
I did great. I did great. Now, I will say week two, I think, is amateur hour. I don't know what the hell happened with all these comebacks and everything. So we did get lucky. But all right, Mark, we'll give you credit. 20-10. Sheck and I and Harry are 18 and 12. What did I?
But how about my Cardinals? My backup pup of the week was the Cardinals.
Nonsense game. I mean, I had the Jags, so that was the never a game 2 minutes in. We're going to get to the Cardinals. We're going to get to Kyler Murray and the assault and everything else. I do want to mention, speaking of assaults, I don't want the Manning brothers to get nervous. Martin did threaten to rob Sheck. That is just a joke. Martin, please clear up that is just a joke, and there's no crimes being planned on this show.
It's only a crime if it's reported.
Confirm it. All right.
TBD.
Okay. All right, listen. TBD on the MNF recap. Monday Night Football, they had two games for us last night. They should have had three because both turned to be junk. But I was getting deja vu. I was getting with the Bills. I was looking at that team, and I had the Titans. I was stupid. I bought it to 10.5. I thought I was a genius getting the extra half a point. But no, Sheck, I don't know if you feel, Martin, you were a little young, maybe not even born at the time of the early 90s Bills, but the crossing routes wide open, the fumbles 2 inches from going out of bounds, and they jumped on like five of them. I got the deja vu from the early 90s Bills out of this Josh Allen-led squad, and they demolished the Titans, the number one seed in the AFC last year. What are your impressions of that game? My God.
Well, first of all, I thought when you said deja vu, I thought you were trying to summon the football gods to deliver the reverse of what happened with the Oilers, who are now the Titans, in what was that, 92? The 35-3 rally with Frank Reich and all of that. I was wrong. I was with you on the Titans plus 10 is where I got that. But I am right. I was right in the big picture about the Tennessee Titans. All of a sudden, With the Texans, who replaced the Oilers, they're something other than a complete and abject punchline. The Jags look interesting, maybe relevant. The Colts aren't going to – they're just – the roster's too good for them
to
stink.
It's a junk division. I hate it. I hate trying to pick it. No one team is better. They show up. The Colts are still favored to win the division. They barely – what they put zero for – they will? Really?
I don't know.
Well,
man.
I mean, here's the
Matt
logic.
Ryan's good for two picks a game, but go ahead.
In history, how often does a team bounce by plus six in win total from one season to the next? That's what you're asking the Jags to do to win the division.
Win a road game too, which they really haven't done in 2 years. So that's why I'm a little skeptical. I know they're plus 430 for the division, but Martin, we could take this either way. We could celebrate the Bills further. Very interesting matchup against the Dolphins. We'll get to that this week. But Martin, what were your impressions of that Titans Bills game?
I got to stop betting against Buffalo. If I like the other side, then I just can't bet on the game. I'm done betting against the Bills. This is exactly how I ended last year, and I got lucky because of 13 seconds, and I cannot continue to fall into this trap. It's week two. I did it week one. I did it week two. I refuse to do it week three because I really kind of feel like Miami, that speed on the outside. I watched that fourth quarter. I was on the Ravens, so of course I just watched that meltdown, and it looked like Alabama Tua out there. But you know what? I refuse to bet against Josh Allen and this wagon that is the Buffalo Bills because they are just elite out of, if this was like the November, December, I would definitely be saying that this is the lock for the Super Bowl. But now because of obviously injuries and all that can happen from here until now. But if the team was playing at this level come Thanksgiving, Christmas time, it's like, yo, it's over with. Pack it up. It's time to go. They got the Lombardi right here and there. I mean, I've never seen something
sweet
like
that. Jesus. You're on. Bruh, you were entirely against the Bills until Monday night, and now
I'm done. They haven't outside of the game against Kansas City. Look, they would have scored 40 points against the Rams if they had to turn the ball. They're just going to score 35 points a game minimum. The rest of the
they're
NFL.
They're not a fun watch. Yeah,
it's good luck.
Watch if you're looking for a close game. In fact, I liken it to the NFL is lucky these games are scheduled because you'd be hard pressed to find the Bills an opponent. They're that scary. It's like Clubber Lang. It's like, oh, who's he going to fight? That guy's terrifying. You can't find anyone who's going to fight him. Or, you know, Tyson in the, to bring it back to reality, Tyson in the late 80s, like, how are they going to find an opponent for him? It's kind of like that for the Bills. Like, they're too, it's too ugly a win to even put on prime time. But I was going to say, did we see the best team in each conference as bad as the games were last night? Eagles now plus 500 to win the NFC. And talk about deja vu. That felt like a first week Saturday night playoff game where you felt like the Vikings were a little better on paper, but the Eagles won the division, a lesser division. And then you go and you watch the game and the Eagles at home put the smackdown on them. And Kirk Cousins back to being Kirk Cousins that a lot of us are familiar with, Chuck.
Boy, there are several alleged curses that exist around pro football in the 21st century, but none more powerful than Kirk Cousins on prime time.
Monday,
I mean,
night.
He yeah, what? Yeah. What is he now? 2-10? Is that the career update on him?
Oh yeah,
when
two
he plays under the lights. I mean that.
Monday night.
That's bad. Yeah. Here's the thing. The thing that strikes me is we make our perennial, you know, collectively, whoever is in the media and prognosticating and otherwise, we all make our picks about who's going to be good, who's going to win their division. That obviously is relevant from a wagering standpoint and beyond, and who gets to play in the January tournament. But that is its own creature. Just as I always say, don't watch preseason and make determinations about what's going to happen in regular season. To a lesser degree, that also applies from regular season into the postseason. The Eagles are good. I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl. So settle down, everybody, talk already.
Who's ahead of them? Only the Bucs are ahead of them in the NFC.
And the Packers.
Odds-wise right now, only the Bucs are ahead of them. But you're right. The Packers are behind. The Vikings are obviously behind them now. I don't know. It felt like a playoff game that, like, oh, it just got out of hand early. Are the best two teams. I'm not going to pull the trigger on them being the best team in the NFC, although it's slim pickings.
I don't think the Eagles are the best team in the NFC, but I agree with you. It felt like a playoff game in that you're like, wow, this quarterback has absolutely no shot at coming back and winning this game. Mm-hmm. Like, he's in way over his head. It gave me the feeling of that. Like, watching Darius Slay was the intended target on some of those passes that Kirk Cousins was throwing. I can't believe I was mm-hmm. picking this team to win the division, and I still kind of feel decent about it even after watching this. But I can't believe I was willing to put my reputation on Kirk Cousins, knowing that it's the same Kirk Cousins.
It's not that big a deal.
You did.
Martin, you're not risking much.
That's what I'm saying. I don't have a lot to go on here. You know what I'm saying? I have a very short rope in general.
You staked your very reputation? I didn't know about that.
He's giving picks every Monday night, and the reasoning was sound, but Kirk Cousins, I don't know. It's like, you're right. Like, week one, you might say it's amateur hour. Like, Jefferson, is he going to get open like he did in week one against the Packers every time? Well, that's not the case. We saw yesterday, and Slay is a big reason for that. But, yeah.
I think he was open a lot. I think Kirk Cousins was missing way more. Even Troy Aikman was pretty pretty critical.
There were a couple drops, too. Yeah.
A couple drops, sure. But it seemed to be a lot of, like, you know, you one Mississippi, let me check this ball down real quick. Like, I wonder, when you got Thielen and Jefferson, how much looking down the field do you do? Or did he do? You know, for my liking, at least.
People are bipolar in their brains, and then that's what's going on inside of them, and then the rest of the world tries to make sense of what's going on there. This is what's happening in reverse 2 weeks into pro football, and it happens every year, is the public perceives teams to be bipolar when, in fact, they're not. We've only seen two games, so if you split, if you won one and lost the other one, now we're like, who is this team? They're the same team. Everybody settled down. It's a 17-week or 18 weeks, but 17 games. Everybody settle in. The Vikings are going to be fine.
But they're going to be
fine. If you're
0-2,
worrisome. The Bengals are worrisome. But
they're
going to
be fine. They'll always have Kirk Cousins, though.
Right. Well, that's my point about what I say about regular season versus postseason. Do I think the Vikings can go to the Super Bowl? No, because they have Kirk Cousins as their QB, and they're not going to win three games in January to get there.
Right.
I think the thing, as unfun as it kind of is, that with Tom Brady and his soap opera and he stinks and all of that, or so far has been mediocre by his standard and everything else. The story so far is the Bucs defense is just shut down. That's something that's carried through from week one to two. And that's this game, Packers and Bucs, whoever survives that one, that's the best team in the NFC, because these are two real heavyweights defensively, despite their Hall of Fame QBs.
We'll give our picks there. The Bucs defense, what can you say bad about the Bucs defense? I'll get Martin, that your team, man, I was Jesus. All over the Saints. And it's really weird because, like, I saw this a month ago, this line, and I'm like, all right, I like the Saints. I saw this matchup at least. I'm like, this is where they make their move. And they're like, well, Jameis has four busted ribs. Like, I don't care. I'm still sticking with the Saints. Like, Kamara's out. Like, it doesn't matter. And you never really do the math. Like, okay, how are they going to score if he has busted ribs and Kamara's out and you're giving it to Ingram, who, by the way, had a decent game, and then they fumbled late. I'm sure you're watching, Martin, and that's kind of what turned the tide. That and temper tantrum on the sideline by Brady. Calculated? Was that calculated, Martin, that temper tantrum? Because it really righted the ship for them.
How does Marshawn Lattimore get ejected for that game? That really was the turning point. Because Marshawn Lattimore is one of the best cornerbacks in the league. If you ever look at any numbers with him and Mike Evans, it's complete Alcatraz whenever the two of them play. He's locked up completely. And if Mike Evans deserved to get ejected from the game, he came from the sideline, ran and hit a guy in his back, right?
These are bad? Three. I guess because they had history. Is it because they had history? Is that why they both got the yanked?
I mean, I understand that. But if I'm just because I have history with somebody and he came over to talk to me, what? I didn't do anything in this moment. I had trouble with that one. It did not seem like quid pro quo that Marshawn Lattimore had to watch the rest of this one from the locker room. And then you see Tom Brady picking on the cornerback that came in, the nickel cornerback, because they traded Garner Johnson. And that was really the turning point to me, when it seemed like Marshawn Lattimore didn't do anything but tell Tom Brady, hey, go to the sideline. But of course, you can't say anything to Tom Brady except, hey, Tom, thank you for playing football today. I really appreciate it. But no, that was a disheartening game.
It sucks too. Because the division is, I mean, odds wise, look at Caesars -550 now. The Bucs, the biggest favorite, even a bigger favorite than the Bills to win their division, and the Saints are at +475. That just sucks, Check. I wanted that. I wanted one of the Souths to matter going into week three.
Yeah, but it's going to remain compelling, I guess. Not maybe, if you're putting your eyeballs and you're making a choice of what game do you want to lock in on or put on the big screen, or however you approach your Sunday viewing habits. But during the week, it will remain an interesting storyline because of what's going on with Tom Brady. I mean, he seems like, I keep saying it, but, and I'm not trying to pick the scab, whatever's going on in his life is his business, I suppose, except that it directly impacts this team. It's crazy what's going on, and we still don't talk about it nearly enough. This calendar year, he retired. He tried to buy the Miami Dolphins. Then as a fallback, he went back to Tampa Bay, which begs the question, where's your dignity, Bucs fans? This guy, you were his fallback, and you're still like, yay, Tom. It's the defense, though, that carries the day, and I guess that makes it watchable. But Tom Brady, thus far, look at the raw numbers. He's throwing the ball way less two games into the season than he did versus a year ago. He's completing it at a lower percentage. Something ain't right there. So they're compelling to track because of that.
Who's on the practice squad today?
Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley. Okay. There you go.
Beasley's MC back. Cole Beasley. And,
because if there's no Julio Jones, you need a kind of player like that's going to fill the role and is going to end up with six or seven touchdowns. We know how it goes. But Brady, you're right, Check, over 5,000 yards, 5,300 yards, doesn't look anywhere near that. We can go over the top three. At one point, it was Wentz, Flacco, and Tua were the top three, I think, before yesterday. I think Allen is now there yards-wise. But let me ask you guys this. This was interesting.
I got one last thing to say on this game. And I want to just say a personal F you to Mike Edwards.
He shouldn't have been there, Jameis. It's not fair. Four broken ribs. It wasn't a fair fight.
Have
you ever tried doing something with a bruised ribs? It's impossible. Try lifting a bag of groceries with bruised ribs, let alone L1 through L4 torn up. Go ahead, Martin.
This guy, Mike Edwards, has cost me, on three separate occasions, a cover by taking a pick six back to the house. Like last year, I had teased the Falcons up to 17, pick six, Buccaneers win by 24. This week, I teased the Saints. I had them all over the place, right? I had them on the money line. I had them on the spread. And I had them in a tease. I figure it's a 3-3 game in the fourth quarter. No one's even going to score 8 points total in this game, damn near, it feels like. And, of course, Mike Edwards, pick six, boom. Buccaneers win by 10. I blow everything.
Two interceptions in the fourth quarter, right? Yeah, is that what it was?
Jameis had two picks in the he had three in the second half, which was just, you know, just lovely to see.
Bummer. Well, let's look at the 0-2 teams because there's only five of them. I don't know. That seems like not a lot after 2 weeks. But Ravens, Raiders, Bengals, Panthers, Falcons. Okay. Falcons, I could see. Panthers, I think everyone had higher hopes for Baker. Bengals, huge offensive line issues. Huge. I mean, really, it's no longer, hey, Joe Burrow will get him back. It's like, no, he has put on his ass between 4 and 10 times a game, and it's tough to overcome. The Raiders, we saw what they did against Arizona. Sheck's pup of the week pick. That was disgraceful. And the Ravens, another disgraceful performance. They were up, like, what, 3 touchdowns? I don't know what they were. I mean, it was insane, that comeback. Out of these teams, which, if any, do you think will make the playoffs, Martin? Ravens, Raiders, Bengals, Panthers, Falcons.
The Ravens. The Ravens. The Ravens are going to make the playoffs.
Is it that easy?
The Ravens are going to make the playoffs, and if they had any of their defensive backs on the field in the fourth quarter, but I'll be honest, I've seen that Mike McDonald play before. I've seen with Ohio State and Michigan, just watching Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson just cross the field and just be wide open over and over and over again, like Waddle and Hill were. So I am concerned about that. But no team's got that type of speed on the outside except for Miami. So, you know, I don't think that's replicable. Whereas Lamar Jackson and what he did on offense, I think we'll see that maybe 2 or 3 times more this season.
Well, Shaq, you'll say the Ravens too. I'll give my thoughts after you guys. But is the Ravens that obvious? Was this a stupid question I posed here?
Yeah, I mean, a fortnight ago, clearly the Bengals were the only other team that anybody was reasonably floating to take the AFC North. Are we really off the Ravens after that one? That was obviously not a great loss for them there. But as I say, week two, they're 1-1. Everything is just fine. There's no one in that division that's going to take them down over the next 15 games.
Well, here's what I'll say. I would agree normally with you guys, but what if this is the norm? What if this team is just cursed and they have injuries all over the place? Like, the thing I love most about the Ravens is they could sit on a lead, right? If they had a lead in the fourth quarter, you didn't have to worry about it because they had a great running game, right? Really led by Lamar Jackson and Dobbins. But if it's going to be, what is it, Justice Hill and some other guys no one's ever heard of trying to hold the lead and a secondary that's banged up every week, I get it. Nobody gained on anybody or lost ground in the AFC North because everybody, nobody was victorious. But I do worry about the Ravens in terms of the makeup of their team. That was, Sheck, wasn't that it? Like, yeah, they run the ball. They don't have to worry about blowing 4 touchdown leads. I don't care who's on the other side.
It does. And like I say, I'm fairly confident. It's not like I'm rooting for the Ravens to succeed, but Lamar Jackson is having an MVP level season 2 weeks in, for what that matters. Yeah. He's not the issue, but it then does beg the question, if it doesn't add up to a lot of wins in 2022, won't the Ravens front office kind of shrug and say, you had a great season, Lamar, and it wasn't enough to win the division again? Maybe they will move on from him. Maybe a trade is in the works, and we keep seeing it year after year, and we keep acting surprised when big name QBs get traded. But already this is setting up for a potential divorce or a tag situation with Lamar Jackson. But point is, yes, the Ravens are going to hold on and win the division. But they're going to have to do it with Lamar Jackson running a little bit less, despite his career long
running less. He's
dash.
The only running back. If
I know.
Come back. He's their only hope back there.
He'll be there. He'll be back soon. But yeah, they're screwed up between Ronnie Stanley and Dobbins and the injuries on the back end defensively, which is their position of strength. When all right, yeah. But it's they're in the AFC North. That's the answer. That is not presenting right now as a loaded division. So that's why I'm like, it's not that big a deal.
The Ravens are plus 105. Back to Martin's point. Martin, I know you had Lamar Jackson to win MVP. Sheck has said it. He's having an MVP type of year. That was an unfortunate loss. It is interesting that Tua is now down to 18-1. Lamar Jackson now 12-1. I guess let's put it this way. Which quarterback right now are you most afraid of? Most afraid to bet against?
Can I just say,
either of those two, or is it Josh Allen?
No, number one with the bullet is Josh Allen for me. He's by far the quarterback I'm the most afraid to bet against. But
he's broken Marty. Josh Allen broke Marty right before our eyes.
I'm broken. I give in. I lost. I give in. Like, congratulations. He's a rock. Like, congratulations. The Bills, y'all got it. But Dave, trading Lamar Jackson would be football malpractice. I just have to, like, that would be absurdity. But yeah, I'm not afraid to bet against Tua at all. But it's the idea that with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill and the way Mike McDaniel was scheming those guys, they were so open, Sal. They were so open. And I'm not trying to discredit Tua. I mean, he got on the ball. But it's like, I mean, that, you know, it's not exactly like he was fitting it in there like Justin Herbert has in times, where he's just like, oh, how did he make that throw? It's like, wow. It's more, to me, it was a lot of play design in Miami, which is incredibly concerning against betting against that team going forward.
Yeah, yeah, sure. If they're going to get behind the corners every, like, just when, if that's their game plan and, you know, you go to that 10 times and 3 times you hit, that's trouble for the rest of the league. I don't know. I think Buffalo beats them up a little this week, and then that's that. I will say this. If you're going to bet Miami to win that division, do it right now, right? Because if they beat Buffalo, the odds are going to tighten up. And if they don't beat Buffalo, they're probably not going to win. They're probably not going to win the division anyway, but you're already going to be a game back there.
It is interesting, though. I know I keep saying this on minus three and on extra points and everywhere I talk into a microphone, but I wonder if, and this next game against the Bills will be further illumination from what we already saw in Charm City on Sunday, but are we going to, like, mid-season, is the conversation just going to be, man, some of us kind of missed on these Dolphins. Why didn't we know that they were going to jump the league with the speed that they're throwing out there? It's very much, the analogy I keep making is they're like Miami college football when they blew up. It's like, or Kurt Warner in The Greatest Show on Turf, or Mahomes' first breakout year with the Chiefs. It's like, what the hell is going on? I mean, they're just running past. Yeah. Or Lamar Jackson in 2019, like, well, they're just too fast for us. We don't know what to do about that. We have to adjust, but it's going to take the offseason collectively for us to make sense of how we're going to slow. Well, that's a crazy offense they're throwing out there.
Let's see one more. I don't think I have to be shamed forever for thinking, I'm not sure if Tua can make it. You know, let's see one more game. And I won't even say it's the Bills, because they'll probably lose that game. But
I'll put it like this.
I'm willing to trade them for playoffs. You know, I had the Raiders to win the West. That's probably a loser, although I think they win their next two against Titans and Broncos and are right back in it. But I will concede that the Dolphins will take their playoff spot if things continue.
Well, here's the thing, because for the month of August, the debate that I couldn't resolve was, so who's the second placed AFC East team? Is it the Dolphins? Are they going to jump the league, or the Patriots going to grind it out and Belichick it up? And now, after you see these two games, you know, listen, it hurt my feelings what happened in Akershire on Sunday, but also my takeaway is, I don't know if Mac Jones is very good, and I know that the team in general isn't loaded with talent, but at the most important position on the field, you offset the other roster deficits with your quarterback, and I don't know if Mac Jones can do that. I think it's clear that Dolphins are the second best team, right?
Yeah, I think so. I had one at 8-9 and one at 9-8, and I might have been way off. Too. I might have been 3 or 4 games off on that. Mark, what were you going to say there?
I was just about to say that Tua was making throws on Sunday that I don't think, you know, when you give him credit, Kirk Cousins wouldn't have made. I don't think if Monday night Kirk Cousins wouldn't have made those throws. Like, I don't know if Kirk Cousins would have been able to get Waddle and Hill the ball in the same way that Tua was able to get Waddle and Hill the ball if it was Monday night at 8:30 p.m.
It is interesting because Jefferson, like I said, was open in much the same way that Waddle was open and Hill was open last week in week 1. So That's why we have to see at least two games. I'm telling you, Shaq, I think week two is when everyone thinks they're an expert. And yeah, sure, I went 12-3, but I don't feel like I have a handle on this as anywhere near as much as I should going into week three. All right, listen, let's take a break. We went over Martin's team, the Saints. We're going to go over my team and Shaq's squad when we get back.
Yes, we are brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odds boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns toward exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today, and get more with every wager. You must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Shaq. Yeah, let's start with my Cowboys. We're back.
Congrats, we're back, man.
And we go to the Giants on Monday, and the Giants are a healthy 3-point favorite. That's too high. I'm sorry, that's too high. I get it. Everyone's excited about this coach, much like they were excited about Coach Judge. I was talking to guys, people like, oh, the cops around the stadium have some swagger in their step. Everyone's falling for the Giants. They won two games that they pretty easily could have lost. Spaghetti, you're very excited. I don't want to put a pin in you here, Spaghetti, but a 3-point favorite. You and I need something to bet on Monday night. We're gonna have to figure something out.
Sal, I don't know how you're this excited. Like, I don't want to poo-poo a win, but I mean, come on. You're coming into to MetLife with Cooper Rush. Like, let's bump the brakes here. I mean, Ryan Tannehill and say what you
Who's
want.
Who's your quarterback?
Ryan Tannehill and Baker Mayfield, say what you want. Better quarterbacks than Cooper Rush. I mean, Dalton Schultz may have missed the game. CeeDee Lamb's banged up. Like, we're going to get back Kayvon Thibodeau and Aziz Ojulari. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, Wandale Robinson may play. Like, it's the defense stopped Christian McCaffrey from doing anything. They stopped Derrick Henry from doing anything. Like, you guys are down.
Didn't McCaffrey have like 100 yards rushing? Didn't he?
Yeah, once they put Xavier McKinney on him, he spotted him the rest of the game. They shut him down completely in the second half. So, I mean, he's just like, I just don't see you guys having any offensive output versus this Wing Martindale defense. I'm sorry. It's going
right, to
be
I don't see you guys having offensive output against the best generational defensive player in football, in Micah Parsons. How about that?
If he goes on Andrew Thomas, he's not going to get a single sack of the whole game.
Oh, really?
Whoa. Okay.
So the all right. Wow.
That might be a hotter take than Eddie saying he would fight Altuve. That might be a hotter take than Eddie saying he could beat up Altuve.
He's the highest graded left tackle in football right now. Go check.
Do you see him? We can move him to the other side, too, is the other thing. But do you see how he glides to the quarterback? Like, I've not seen anything like it in many, many years. Oh, I think this. Oh, I can't wait for this game now. I can't wait for it. And it's a must win for
Wait
me,
a second.
This one's home. This one's
Hold
home
on a second. A
lot of pressure.
First of all, it's Cooper Rush. So I hear Spaghetti's noise. I also need to remark that it's funny. Marty swings wildly from the Bills dating back to January of 2022. Now he's fully on with Josh Allen. Eddie Spaghetti, in 2 weeks' time, has swung from like, I don't know about the Giants, to like, you think the Cowboys can win in MetLife? They're 2-0, and they are fun, and they are looking good. And the most important point is
the Cowboys are not a top team by any stretch, though. They're playing all a bunch of backups.
You have to score, Eddie. You have to score. You didn't do a great job.
We'll score enough to win. We'll score more than you.
If you score 16 like you did against the Pat, like, what did you win? I'm not sure if I'm watching the same thing. You could be 0-2. It wouldn't take too much to pivot from that 2-0. I don't know. I'm not that impressed with them. And yet they're
but why should we be impressed by the Cowboys though with the backup quarterback?
Well, you shouldn't, but you should be a little nervous. I mean, they could have folded it against someone. Well, here's why you should be impressed. We gave up two touchdowns to Joe Burrow and Tom Brady, and only one through the air. So be impressed with their defense, at least.
That's right. Spaghetti's cause for optimism above all else is it's great to see Saquon on a human level doing nicely. He's a great bet for comeback player of the year still. But Spaghetti's point is Thibodeau and Ojulari aren't playing, and they're doing well defensively. Now you step up in terms of class of foe coming into town here, but it is Cooper Rush. But Sal, you hit the nose on the head. Very subtly, and I know the Bills are, you know, scoring 17 touchdowns a game and Tua and all of that. But for the most part, it feels to me like defense is winning earlier than it usually does in the NFL calendar. And the Cowboys have one of the best defenses. I think that, I mean, that's the difference in the game. I get that the Giants' O-line is performing better, and specifically Andrew Thomas, Spaghetti, and all of that. But That's a different level of defense that they're going to see with Dallas rolling into town. I think the main thing is the under. Now to the more important debate, what's your bet going to be head to head? The two of yous.
Yeah, we
you
have guys got to do something. Out. So we have
reverse Mohawk. Reverse Mohawk.
Babyface, did you come up with something? We Spaghetti and I definitely have to have a bet on this, and we're on the road and underdogs here, so let's keep that in mind.
Well, there's always a plate of Eddie's spaghetti, which could be spaghetti with anything he'd like to put on it, whether it be mayonnaise or syrup or Cowboys tears, you know, something like that, whatever.
Is that if the Giants win? Because that sounds like something he would like.
Yeah, that way that could be.
Spaghetti with syrup.
Or if the Cowboys win, maybe Eddie has to dress as a cowboy, specifically Woody the Cowboy from Toy Story.
Oh.
That I would love. I like he'd that. Be adorable. But
well, he has to go to the gym in that costume. That's the only thing. I don't want him on stupid Zoom here. Yeah. All right, Spaghetti, come
up
with
stuff. I'm down
with
whatever. I'm confident. I mean, I'm being poo-pooed for my team scoring 21 points and 19 points. You scored 3 in week 1. Like, back and quarterback saying, you know, they miss your starting tight end. Like, I just feel pretty good about this game.
You know, the good thing is, Eddie, I don't think you have much to worry about. I don't think the Cowboys really have. Sure, you want to talk about overreactions through 2 weeks. Do the Cowboys really have one of the best defenses in the NFL, or do they have Michael Parsons? Like, and I think maybe those statements.
How many great quarterback rates do they have to put? I mean, it was Brady and Burrow. I'm sorry. I think that's more impressive than Baker and Tannehill, who we saw was just a disaster.
Sure. But once somebody figures out that it's probably going to be in your best interest to double team the only guy on the defense making plays, I don't know. Maybe something will change. I feel like a guy like Brian
Daboll. They've had 19 games to figure it out. They've not figured it out yet. So maybe he's actually good. But all right, Martin, I was going to ask you, what would you rather be holding? A ticket for the Giants to win the NFC East at plus 525 or the Cowboys at plus 550? It's so disrespectful. The Giants are ahead. But I think you would clearly, it sounds like you'd answer Giants.
I would rather have a Giants ticket, but I have an Eagles ticket. I just don't think either one of these teams eventually, like neither one of them are going to win the division, but I would rather have a Giants one. But the way that Brian Daboll is running Daniel Jones, he's going to snap in half soon. I just, you know, he's going to break. They run him like he's a college quarterback. So we'll see how that goes for the Giants in their future, if you have that futures ticket. But, they're competitive, though. They're a much better team than we were last year.
Sure, of course. Look, I had them going 8-9 out of everyone on this call here and this podcast. I probably had them doing better than anybody. Spaghetti, how many games did you have them winning?
I said in the 7-9 win range, yeah. So
okay. All right, so they're right there.
In lockstep.
I had them at 7-10, and maybe they're going to wind up a tick better than that. Let's wait and see what happens. But I'll stick with the Cowboys if I get to answer that question. I'll stick with the Cowboys at plus, what'd you say, 500 they are right now?
550. Plus 550 with Dak coming back in a couple weeks.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. Again, talk about like overreactions. This is what we talk about. 2 weeks worth of information does not equal the remaining 4 months worth that we're about to see here. What's crazy is Spaghetti said on -3 on Monday. He didn't say it himself. He said people are now talking this way about Dak and a Cooper Rush QB controversy. Then I'm on social media and I see you and the sports guy indulging the same thing. It's Ewing theory. They're better without that. That's crazy talk.
I'm not going to get
Let's settle down, everybody.
But I'll say
it's
this.
Cooper Rush.
There are teams that, and we'll get to yours in a second, Check, that could be sniffing the playoffs, theoretically. Maybe not your Steelers, but is Cooper Rush, will he have most of his games be on par with a Mac Jones, with a, and we'll get right to it, with, you know, with a Trubisky or with some of these lesser quarterbacks that might make the playoffs? Really?
No, okay. He's Cooper Rush. He's Cooper Rush. He's been around. He's been in the pipeline too long to suddenly break out as being like, okay, he's all right. You can make a run with that guy.
Well, it seems like you just like defined Trubisky. He's been in the pipeline too long to step it up. But you called him, he is what he is, right? Well, you were going to switch. Did I hear right on -3? You said take him out in the third quarter against knowing what Belichick does against rookie quarterbacks. That was the time to put him in. Pick it in the third quarter.
You know me, Sal. I'm one of society's foremost empaths, and I understand the human condition, what goes on in one's brain. And I thought that was the ideal spot when you're trailing the Patriots. If you put the kid in there at halftime or somewhere in the third quarter, now he can only serve as hero. I'm talking mentally and emotionally.
He can throw three interceptions. What if he throws three interceptions? What are you looking
at? Then it's not his fault. He didn't blow the lead. The other guy did. It's not his.
You think everybody will look at it as not his fault or just you? The fans would be outraged.
No, crazy people in week one in Pittsburgh were saying, put in Pickett now, like, they're winning in Cincy against the defending AFC champs. You want to swap out the quarterback now? That's crazy talk. When you're losing and you're it's the reality.
Oh, so your idea of non-crazy talk is to swap him out against the greatest defensive coach of the decade in his first NFL action ever.
Well, when you use a first-round draft pick on a quarterback, I feel like that's low pressure. It's better to that's relative low pressure. Like, hey, get in there. You don't have time to think about it, to sweat what's going to happen over the course of the week. You throw the kid in there. We saw that work with Justin Herbert when Tyrod Taylor got the needle right before the game. I kind of like that spot for a guy. I wouldn't like him. Hey, just make sure you don't make any mistakes and blow this lead, kid. That's not the premise you want to put him in there with. I think you want him to be a potential hero, and that may be the talk that is still ongoing. Like, maybe they should put him in there against Cleveland. They're not going to do that on a short week. If they stink,
but they would do it at halftime
on Thursday night
after he's been taking second team reps all week.
Then an hour and a half.
I like the luxury of being able to, when you don't have the guy, when you don't know who the guy is, you don't have Josh Allen or your franchise QB. I like the ability to throw a curveball at a defense.
You know what this is, Sal?
What? They're putting another QB in?
This is what this is.
I like that.
Because I grew up with this. I grew up with this until Drew Brees came to New Orleans. He's now experiencing it for the first time in a very long time that Ben is gone. He just doesn't know what to do with himself at quarterback. He doesn't. He's so left. He's so right.
I know what the answer is.
I mean, you want to bench a guy at halftime, but you don't want to do it on a Thursday night because that's a short week. Meanwhile, we're taking second team reps. Yeah. Don't worry. We will find out what Pickett is soon enough. This year, it may be a wash, Dave. It may not be. I understand that in Pittsburgh, you guys are supposed to win. It's supposed to be competitive. You're supposed to be 800. It may not happen this year as you're figuring out this very important position.
Let's go 800, Kenny Pickett.
I mean, 800. Over 8 wins. 500.
I think that the hand-wringing and histrionic behavior from Pittsburgh media and the Pittsburgh fan base is embarrassing. The settle down, everybody. Coach
Are
Tomlin
you including
has this
Snoop
one.
Dogg? A Snoop Dogg who called for offensive coordinator Matt Canada to be fired?
Yeah.
All right.
Listen,
well, so,
I get the concern about Canada.
You're 1-1. He didn't exceed expectations, Trubisky. He hasn't gone beneath expectations. That's kind of where you should be. So he needs to get yanked in the third quarter.
Yes. And because that was a winnable game. And, you know, the takeaway that no one wants to hear on the banks of the Three Rivers because people are too busy crying about the situation. What are we going to do? Matt Canada's no good. They aren't throwing the ball downfield enough. What are we going to do? Relax, everybody. A play or two in that game, and the Steelers end up winning there. They dropped an interception. They dropped a punt. You swing one or two of those things, and the Steelers end up, and everything is right as rain. But The reality of the 21st century is that when you use a first-round pick on a quarterback, you play him sooner rather than later. This Steelers team is not some juggernaut team that you just roll with whoever. You have a good defense. Now, at some point, they're going to transition to the first-round draft pick. It's just a matter of when that sweet spot is. If they lose to the Browns on Thursday night, to me, you certainly now go to Kenny Pickett against the Jets in Akershire in week four.
That's fine.
I think the perfect time would be against the Browns. Week 4 minutes into the first quarter would be the perfect time to start Kenny Pickett.
It's not like it's an insane theory that we've never seen in pro football. If you don't have the guy and you have two guys both there who you're like, yeah, maybe that guy can get it done instead of this guy since we're dormant offensively today. It's a change of pace. You don't have with a Hall of Fame QB. You can't sit him down and say, like, we'll get back to you next week. Now you do have that. Like, that'll go to the kid here.
You act
back
like they lost to the Bengals, though. Like, if they had lost to the Bengals and were, like, struggling to score against the Patriots, I would believe this more. But it's like, you're 1-1. It's fine. Like, I don't know. The Patriots come to play. Belichick feasts on rookies. I'll say this. Martin, who did you have for Offensive Rookie of the Year? Because if you do think that Pickett's going to be in sooner rather than later, 18-1, now's the time to jump on. But I forgot who you had, Mark. You had one of the receivers, right?
I don't remember right now because I bet Dave's pick.
Olave?
I had Olave at 12.
You had Olave.
Sheck.
I ended up betting Dave's pick, which was Sam Howell. I bet.
Sam Howell.
I ended up betting Dave's pick. And that's the ticket that I have now. Well,
he is falling. He's 100-1 now.
But I think the commies, receiver there. Yeah. Commies lose again, you know, and there's a decent chance this will be an ugly game, and there's a chance Wentz won't be great here. I don't know if they'll flip the switch that soon, but, you know, as long as the QB, the rookie QB is in there by, say, the quarter pole, I think that guy has a chance to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, and I think there's a good chance that Howell will be in that spot, and I think there's a good chance Pickett will be in that spot. The problem for Pickett is that after the Jets game, dig up the schedule. The next seven or so games are just miserable. They're like the Bills and the Bucks and now the Dolphins and so on. It's a mess whoever is under center for Pittsburgh after these next two games.
So
Drake London favored to win that offensive right now at 5-1. That surprises me. I don't know why. I thought Garrett Wilson or somebody else would be on top.
He's been making big plays. But which fan base do you guys think that you could, like, we could kind of hear through the TV was more justified? The Steelers fans chanting for Kenny Pickett or the Broncos fans counting down 5-4-3-2-1 to avoid delay of games?
I think they're just showing off, Broncos fans. You know, hey, we know how to count. Some of these other idiot fan bases don't know how to. I'm not sure. But Russ is getting booed wherever he goes. That's what's interesting. Like, who boos him next week? It's very strange what's going on there. But
they did a great job. When some people, the takeaway from Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell both leaving Pittsburgh in ugly divorce fashion, everybody, the takeaway was like, hey, Tomlin really did a good job keeping all that mess under wraps. We didn't really know about it until it was done. Same goes, kind of. We knew something wasn't quite right in Seattle for the last few years. Who knew that they all hated him? Like, Richard Sherman just jumps to Twitter to announce, like, ha-ha, every time he makes a bad play. Really detested this guy.
Well, the players, whatever, you have personal relationships. But the fans can't be booing him. Yeah, we never talked about this.
I agree with that.
But Martin, there's other ways to approach this. I mean, Brady, you know, is it because he's in his prime? Is it because he left in his prime? Is that the difference between a player coming back and leaving?
If I was in Seattle and I was a Seattle fan, I would boo Russell Wilson too. You play for the other team. Like, if Sean Payton goes and coaches the Cowboys, guess what? Boo you, bud. Boo you. Yeah, no, you were supposed to be for me. You could have been mine forever. And you want to go and do this and that? I mean, I understand. Hey, you want to go make a life decision? That's fine. My life decision is I decided a long, long time ago that I'm loyal to the soil of where I'm here. This is my squad. You left. You're the one that changed the status quo. Look, everybody else apparently did not like Russell Wilson very much. So I guess if that's the case, maybe some of these fans shouldn't have been that anxious about it. But when you go from thinking that you got a guy to Geno Smith and Drew Lock, you know, I would feel some type of way about it as well.
But pay attention, Lamar Jackson. Fans will always side with the brand over the individual. You hear Marty Weiss, diehard Saints guy, love Sean Payton and Drew Brees and all that. But when put in a tough spot, he's going with the brand. Beware, Lamar. The fan base ain't going to be on your side when push comes to shove.
Martin, what were you going to add?
Why would I not be? The fan base should, why would the fan base be, I'm supposed to just be a Sean Payton fan because I was a fan of the Saints before he got there? I can't believe Dave has this take. This is fascinating to me. This would shock me. I feel like if Big Ben decided he was going to retire in Indy, you would have, not necessarily been the most happiest about that. So, but I think it's
one of those things you have to experience before you actually know how you're going to react, right? Check if Big Ben did play for the Browns, right, this week. This
fair.
You know, first 4 weeks, yeah.
I hear you. I bask in the glow of guys who wear black and gold and nothing but for the entirety of their career. Lemieux and Roethlisberger and Mean Joe and all of that. Who I do boo, the difference between Russell Wilson and Barry Bonds is Russell Wilson brought you Lombardi, who you're the Seattle Seahawks. You had no history of that. You went to two straight Super Bowls. Okay, Malcolm Butler happened, but nevertheless, you got to celebrate on a level you never and did. See, you I almost were a dynasty.
That's the opposite
with that
thing.
Guy,
Seattle fans
Barry
don't
Bonds
think that
ditched.
Russell Wilson brought him. I think Seattle fans think the Legion of Boom brought him, Marshawn Lynch brought him, and Russell Wilson cost them the opportunity to get two.
Now, you know who
I also
Seattle
think it's
thinks?
Weird.
Well, Seattle buys into this 12th man thing, too. And I think they think they're just as responsible more than any of the entities you mentioned just now, Martin. I know, it's ridiculous. All right, listen, let's take a quick break and let's talk baseball, in which Russell Wilson might be playing again soon. Who knows? We'll be right back. All right, my Mets. I'm wearing a Met cap here. They clinched a playoff berth. I want to say October bound, but the season seems to go until like October 6th or something, like for the regular season. But they will make the playoffs for the first time since 2016. Whether they win the division is another story. They're up one game with 13 left, tied in the loss column against the Braves. They have three against them at the end of September, heading into October, like I mentioned. The Astros clinched the AL West. That's five of the last 6 years. Martin, plus 380 to win the World Series. I think people were kind of sleeping on the Astros. Not a great price, but definitely one of the three teams you expect to be there in late October. Or maybe it's December. I'm not sure how long the schedule goes.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere around Thanksgiving. I think I like the Dodgers, though. Even though the Astros, I like the Dodgers to win the World Series. I mean, maybe it's just because there's a team that I see like almost every night because I'm out here, but they just are dominant. It almost doesn't matter who they pitch, what lineup they put out there. Whereas in the Astros,
how many runs they're given, they cover the 1.5, so they're a better's darling. Yeah.
Yeah, the Astros seem like the Buffalo Bills through 2 weeks. I mean, I'm sorry, the Dodgers seem like the Buffalo Bills through 2 weeks. The Dodgers have seemed like them the whole season, it feels like.
There's not
no matter
an injury,
who they start.
At least in their arm-wise, that they can't overcome, it seems. Let's see. Maybe October will be different. Shaq, play of the day, Tuesday. We went 2-for-3 with our pups. You had the Cardinals. I had the Jags. Let's pick one. What's your baseball bet? What's your diamond bet for Tuesday?
All right, I'm going to give you that. But first, let me say, one guy I'm definitely going to boo when he comes back to the banks of the Three Rivers is Daniel Vogelbach. That slob trainer runs off to the Mets, drinking his champagne with his pals like he's known these guys for more than a fortnight. Shame the devil. I'm going to boo you for sure.
This is the damage check that I expected right here. This is what I expected. Right.
Thank you. Thank you. But the other thing is, very quickly,
opposite field hits that go to the wall, and you wonder if he's going to get to second base or not. It's fun. It's a fun team. Go ahead, Shaq. What's your pick?
What a heavy set, man. And I'm going to stick with my Metropolitans to win the Fall Classic for what that matters. It also matters, too, is I think we still, as baseball viewers, haven't fully adjusted to what happens now pretty much over the last 10 years, which is who has the deepest pitching staff, including starting pitchers, because some percentage of those starters are going to wind up pitching middle innings. And that's what tilts who wins the World Series now. Almost every year, it feels like. I don't have the answer who's got the deepest total pitching staff, 1 through 9 or 10. So I'll defer to you on that. Meantime, the thing that I'm watching is what most casual baseball fans are. Aaron Judge, the home run chase. Can he get Pi Maris? The answer is yes. He's at 59. I'm betting him to hit number 60, and that will be a magical clout in terms of history to hit 60. Not many people get to that number, plus 170 if he does it. Who's he doing it against? The battle in Buccos. It should only count for a half. I think it'll count for full. You'll get plus 170 for the bet.
You know, this is cute, and, you know, he's going to get his MVP award, and he's going to probably break the inferior record. It's the minor league record. He's breaking the Yankee record. Congratulations, Babyface and Spaghetti and Meatballs there. The real record is Barry Bonds, 73. So, good for you. You'll get past 60, Mantle, 61, Maris, and that'll be that. But
it matters if he gets it in 154 games versus 162, right?
I guess if you look at it, if people were paying attention, yeah, that's one of them.
If he gets to, which is a legitimate number, if he gets to 65, no matter what you want to say to diminish it, you have to say, wow, one of the all-time great slugging seasons that we've ever seen.
I'd rather diminish it, though. All right, Martin, what's your pick?
I'm going with Luis Castillo of the Mariners to get the win. You can get this on Caesars. It's minus 139. The Mariners on the money line are minus 244. So minus 139 is obviously much better odds. Castillo's worst start as a Mariner came against the A's in late August. So this is a revenge spot. And, I mean, Oakland has been mailing it in all season, but they have the second worst strikeout rate since the start of September. So I expect him to go pretty long into this game because it'll probably be 3-4 pitch at-bats because they're swinging at everything. Mm-hmm. So I think he gets the win.
Now, Martin, I think, like, you know, our focus is mostly on football, like 99.5%, whatever the Browns' chances were to win with less than 2 minutes left. That's where we are. That's our focus on football. But I think there's money to be made with baseball. I really do. I think some of these lesser teams that are out of it, that have been out of it since the end of July, are going to bring up their September prospects while these other teams are still jockeying for position. Teams like the Braves need to win the division. I like them minus two on Caesars. It's good. You can buy minus two and you'll get a push. You don't have to go minus 2.5. Minus two is minus 118. The Braves are 11-3 against Washington, a team who essentially has given up. Patrick Corbin, 6-18 is the starter. He's got a 6.11 ERA against Charlie Morton, who's serviceable, I think, at 8-6. High strikeout guy. You got Austin Riley, 37 home runs, 92 runs batted in. They have the rookie of the year. It's now not Strider is the favorite, not the pitcher. It's Michael Harris batting .305 with 18 homers and 26 doubles. Six of the last seven Braves wins come by two or more runs. Put it in the books. 7-3 final. I'm not going to like it, but I'm going to like it when I collect the minus two, minus 18. All right, check. Mr. Lister tonight, 7 p.m. or 7:04
yes,
p.m.?
Yes, 7 p.m. Eastern. If you didn't get enough excitement out of the Patriots and Steelers, we're here for you. I'm Mr. Lister, the list-based sports trivia show on Spotify Live. Be there. You can chime in. By the way, I did hear you in the D3. Great stuff on Sunday. That's a must-listen while you're watching as a companion to looking at the football. Have these
so
guys
emotional
in your ears. It was very... It was emotional.
Brother Bry said he went for a ride afterwards, for left his whole family for like 4 hours. So they couldn't.
I like the threats. We have a bunch of histrionic people here at Extra Points, apparently, because people I heard promises to abandon their team 2 weeks in. I may be done with this team. I heard that mentioned more than once.
Yeah.
The thing I want to plant a seed for on Thursday, the next time we convene, let's all come up with, in college football, which has been splendid so far this year, we're really only talking about one slot available in the Final Four because we know three are already occupied, and they were in July, and they were in April, and they were whenever people decided that there would only be 4 days. Who's the fourth? We have to figure that out. The three obvious ones all have a minus sign next to their number. Mm. Everybody else is a plus. You figure out who's going to be the plus, and we'll provide our answers.
Okay.
How about that?
We'll do that on Thursday. Also, Will Blackman's going to join us. Lemon Pepper Parlay, hey, co-host. You know what? We're going to give him a little performance review. Isn't that good,
okay,
Martin?
All right.
Led by you. He's your co-host on Lemon Pepper Parlay every week, and he's going to join us Thursday.
I think I will let Dave lead that.
Okay. You think, all right, the dynamic might be weird if you give him a job review. All right.
Yeah, we'll do that. I'm gonna
That's gonna
let
be
Dave
fun.
you know, these guys, Sal, they still work out all the time. These guys you pair me with, the TJs, the Will Blackmans, I can see it. Yeah. They still got these muscles around here. I don't even know, trapezoid. You know, I'm not messing with it. I'm
with Dave. But Will drinks a lot of wine, too, so maybe you catch him on a draw. I don't know. I don't want anyone fighting. That's the last thing I want. -3, Shaq, you got one in the books. You got one with Kevin Hench coming up on Thursday. Waiver Wire with Jen Piacenti and Eddie Spaghetti. Get all your fantasy needs taken care of that. Megan Fun of Sports with the Megans, talking all good things about sports. And, covered in glory, soccer, and against all odds. I think I covered all of them. I think that's it. Yes. So that will do it for another. Yes, covered all of them in glory. Reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites. We'll be right back.